Well, good evening. Don't stand just yet, but if you have your Bible with you, turn over to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. It's a honor and a privilege, of course, to fill the pulpit when pastor's away, and I appreciate the prayers for those of you who knew that I was going to be here, and appreciate you for showing up. That's always a blessing. So by way of introduction, that's a good start. We're closing in on the year of 2017. We don't change as a person just because the calendar date changes from 2017 to 2018, but it is the time to which is designated, just as the calendar changes, to kind of maybe look back and reflect on the past 12 months, maybe to take stock and evaluation of ourselves and where we've been, where we've come through, what were our struggles, what were our victories, and what things do we want to improve upon. You know, I think we're always in a constant mode of change, and we're always in a constant mode of trying to better ourselves for God and for one another. And I think one of the biggest areas in life is our speech. And I think one of the biggest regrets in our life is our speech. When you think about everything that happens in life, when we lose someone that's near and dear to us, we always think about the things maybe that we wish we had said, that we'd always wish we had time for. Maybe we regret the things that we did say, maybe words of hurt, maybe anger. So we're always looking at speech. We could always say more, we could always say less, depending on the circumstances. And they say that actions speak louder than words. I don't believe that. You know, if we were to look at Jesus Christ, if he were to come here and he were to die on the cross, in which he did, but he never told us anything. If he never told us why he went to the cross, if he never told us why he came to this earth, he would have been just a man, born into the flesh of man, and went to the cross and died, and we would have had no clue as to why he came. But he gave us his word. So I think words and actions need to be paired together, and it's only the combination of the two which we can truly be effective for God. And they need to be paired together. So our actions have to match our words, but we certainly need to use words. And so tonight, as we look at this text in Proverbs chapter 16, you can stand now. We're going to kind of look at the preparation of our heart and our speech. In Proverbs chapter 16, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by fear of the Lord men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Let's pray. Brother Alger, will you please pray for us, please?
Father, we thank you for the Bible and the reading of it right now. And I pray now to you, Brother Warren, just to fill him with your spirit, Lord. And I know you have something for us tonight. Help us to receive it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you for standing in the reverence and reading of God's word. So the word preparation in verse 1... as we lay some context to the words that we're going to be using, Noah's 1828 defines it as the act or operation of preparing or fitting for a particular purpose, use, service, or condition, as the preparation of land for a crop of wheat, the preparation of troops for a campaign, the preparation of a nation for war, the preparation of men for future happiness. Preparation is intended to prevent evil or secure good. So it's the idea of preparing. And we know what preparing means. It means we're just getting something ready for use. The first two verses here are statements. The preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So the first part, this is a statement. And we're going to just kind of look at the preparations of the heart. There's a couple different areas in which we need to prepare ourselves for. First, we're going to talk about preparation for one another as church members. Last night, I had the opportunity and the privilege to preach out of the veterans' home. And I was prepared for a lot of things. I was prepared to preach. I had my message, my Bible. I was prepared to pick the men up from their room, talk to them a little bit. And then I sat down to one of the older gentlemen there, and I was talking to him about his Christmas. And I said, "Hey, how was your Christmas?" And he said, "Yeah, it was good. I was expecting my wife to surprise me and visit me, but she didn't." And then there was silence. And I thought, I have no idea what to say to this man. What words could I possibly have that could make any difference in this man's life? So there was an awkward pause. I don't even recall what my response was. It tells you how heartfelt and meaningful it was. And we continued to talk a little bit, and then he went back to his room, and we went on about our day. If you read our verse, it says, "The preparation is the heart and man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." So if we're prepared, if we're preparing ourselves to serve one another, those instances and those circumstances, we're going to be better suited for that opportunity. When you look at even just us here, how many times do we come and go from this church so focused on ourselves, so focused on running the race, so focused on what I need to accomplish? Tonight I was pretty busy, and I know other people were as well. You know, how easy do we gloss over one another? Do we gloss over opportunities to commune and talk with one another? I think that we can easily just miss opportunities to maybe be a blessing, to maybe to be an encouragement to one another, to maybe to be a help to someone. But if we're not focused, if we're not prepared for that, then we're going to find ourselves at a loss and maybe missed opportunity to serve God and serve one another. So we need to be prepared for one another. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in detail as we get going. But then the second area we need to be prepared for is our family. Are we prepared to have conversations with each other? There's a lot of topics that can be challenging. There's a lot of topics that can be difficult. Do we have the type of relationship to where that door is open? You know, when we always say we want our kids to be honest with us and come to us, that's great in theory. It's great to talk about, to say something we want, but are we prepared mentally, physically, not physically, but spiritually in a position where we even have that relationship? Are we praying that God, hey, one day my child or my husband or wife's going to be confronted with something. Am I prepared to deal with it? What are they going to tell me? Am I ready to receive what they would have? And so, again, being suitable for that use. Depending on your role in your home, we should be preparing ourselves to have a godly response. We should be prepared for that opportunity. And then prepared for the lost. You know, are we, when we step out our door, are we prepared to encounter the world? Are we prepared to edify and proclaim the gospel the way that it needs to be? When we step out that door, we're no longer in the refuge of our home. We're in territory. We're on the front lines. Are we prepared to go to battle to present the gospel? These things don't happen by chance. They just happen by us being prepared, by us being diligent. And the preparation in our heart has to go two ways. There's two ways in which we can prepare ourselves. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. I need help. Does anyone want to counsel me later on speech? Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 29, the Bible reads, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers." Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. That word edification means to instruct, improve the mind in knowledge, generally in particular in moral and religious knowledge and faith and holiness. So we need to edify, we need to instruct and improve the mind in knowledge. So we don't need to have evil communication, but we need to instruct. We need to instruct the mind, improve the mind in moral and religious knowledge. I believe that there's two areas of which we need to prepare our hearts. I think one of the ways that we need to prepare ourselves in our mind and in our areas is in reproving. You know, we're a big church. If we're not prepared to correct one another in a godly manner, to be able to say, hey, this was wrong. Hey, there's a better way to go about this. The things that you did were not good. They didn't edify. That wasn't the way to talk to a guest. Whatever it may be, if we're not prepared to reprove one another in a godly manner, we're not going to be instructing. We're not going to be improving one another. We need to build upon that foundation. You know, sometimes we can be so cautious and afraid of hurting one another's feelings. We can be so worried that stepping on people's toes instead of holding each other accountable, if there's not people in here that's going to hold us accountable, who's going to hold us to accountable? Right. Who's going to hold us to that standard if we're not the ones doing it to ourselves? Right. You know, I think of the story of Nathan and David. You know, sometimes we need to be Nathan and say, thou art the man. Right. Sometimes, and then the flip side of that, we need to be ready to receive that feedback. I think that's some of the difficulty is we're not so receptive of that feedback that people don't want to approach us. But if we're doing it if we're prepared and the answer is from the Lord, then it's not just going to be our flesh venting, it's not going to be our flesh frustrations and whining and complaining about what this person did or didn't do, how this wasn't done. It's not none of that. If it's from a godly perspective and we're prepared, then that answer is going to be from the Lord. And sometimes we need to be like David and say, you're right, repent and fix it. So we need to be prepared for reproving, giving and receiving. That's the only way we're going to improve. Pastor says we're a good church. We are a good church. He wants to be great. I want to be what he wants us to be. And the only way we're going to do that is if we improve. And by improving, you strengthen, you change. Sometimes you tear down. You know, if we improve the facility, the building, sometimes we need to tear some things down and rebuild it back up. So it just depends on what is needed at that exact time, and that's where that preparation comes into play. The second part of preparing our hearts is an encouragement, is encouraging one another. Flip over my next page there. You know, if we think about everything that everyone does here in this church, and we think about how involved everyone is, and as I look across the room, I can see different areas of service where people have made a difference in my life just from being here in the church and being here faithfully at all the different services, and how many times I've failed to thank people for what they've done. You know, I know that we don't do it for thanks, we don't do it for the appreciation, we do it for the Lord. But if we're singing a special, not me, if you're singing a special, I don't sing. You're singing for the Lord, but you're also singing for the church. You know, how many times has a special blessed our heart? How many times has a special spoken to us before the preaching and it got us in the right frame of mind? Do we go up to that person and say, hey, thank you for that special. That was wonderful. It encouraged me or it helped me in this way. We can get so busy after service, you know, the doors open and the great exodus begins and we that thought just is diminished and gone and we miss that opportunity to thank someone for what they've done. You know, I think about the nursery. You know, how many times, what would service be like without the nursery? It's unfathomable. It would be awful. The training room would be packed. There'd be kids everywhere. It would be awful. Because they're not able to sit quietly. So how many people here that have children in the nursery were able to hear a message free of distractions and got saved? Heard a message that got right with the Lord, maybe encouraged, maybe God called them to some specific service. Did we go up to those people and say, hey, you know what, because you were down there serving, God was able to use the preacher, God was able to use this, and I was able to do this in my life. Do you know how that happens? We're prepared. We're prepared to serve one another. We're thinking about those things. We're in the mindset to say, okay, I'm here, but I'm also a part of this, and everyone in the cog in the wheel is making a difference in my life. You know, Again, we don't do it for the praise and the thank you, but it's nice to hear thank you. Yeah. It's nice to hear I appreciate you. Don't come up and tell me that, but I'm not doing this for me. But, for, you know, it's good to hear those things. But the only way that happens is by preparation. You know, we'll go back to our text. The preparation of the heart is in man. We're the ones that are doing the preparation. If we're not prepared, if we're just kind of going through life willy-nilly and coming to church, coming and going, we're not going to have that influence and that power. You know, regardless of whatever it is that we do, we're preparing for something. We're preparing for something. If I don't prepare my heart and my mind and I'm not ready to be used of God, and I'm not ready to be a servant to God and be a servant here in the church, then I'm prepared to be guided by myself. We're gonna be directed. Our heart's gonna speak something, and so it's either gonna be from God, it's either gonna be something that's edifying, it's gonna be something that's gonna be profitable, or it's gonna be from me, which may not necessarily be so. If I'm not prepared to love each member and to care for every single person, regardless, then what's the answer that's gonna come from my heart? It's going to be that of the flesh. It could be bitterness, it could be gossip, it could be whatever it may be, but it's not going to be edifying. Let no evil communication come forth. So we need to be prepared. And in this verse in chapter 16, it says, the preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The second part says, the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. When we prepare ourselves by prayer, by spending time, by hiding God's word in our heart, when we do our part, the words that we use, the speech that we use, the things that we choose to talk about come from the Lord. I'm not talking, you know, ex cathedra where we're speaking for God, but it's going to be edifying, it's going to be profitable, it's going to be encouraging. And that's the kind of person we want to be. We want to be Christ-like. Isn't that what Romans says, to be transformed into the image of God, where we're becoming more like Him? Remember how important our words are? If we're going to become like Christ, then we need to have the words of Christ, the words of God, that we're able to instruct, to edify. When we are in tune with God and have the right relationship, walking circumspectly, aware of my surroundings, listening for that small voice to communicate with one another, then our response is going to be from God. So why is this so important? Why do we need to prepare ourselves? Well, the Bible gives us a warning in chapter 16, verse 2. It says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. How quickly can we dismiss the direction of God for our own wisdom? How quickly can we hear that voice and we can just assume that maybe somebody else is going to take care of it? Maybe somebody else is going to go speak to that person and be an encouragement to them and a blessing. You know, we can push our responsibility off and with the assumption that it's going to be all right. Somebody else is going to. It's not needed. It's not necessary. You know, we know that God's ways are not our what His God's ways are His ways and not ours. God may prompt us, God may lead us to do things, but if we're not in tune with Him, if we're not walking with Him, we can easily just say, well, that's not important. I don't need to do that. I don't need to say that. They don't need to be thanked. They don't need to be encouraged. They don't need to be uplifted in their struggles and their trials. Somebody else will take care of that. It's not my responsibility. You know, I think of that verse in my own personal testimony. Where would we be if we did things our own way? If we got our own way, if we got what we wanted, our unclean ways, if we got exactly what we were wanting, what would life be like? So I surrendered to preach back in 2012, and I struggled for a little while with that because I was in the Air Force. I knew that I was going to be separating at 15 years of active duty service. I was 5 years from retirement. And I bartered and I pleaded with God, hey, God, what would you have me to do? Hey, look what I could do with this retirement. It would be great. I wouldn't have to do this. And I listed the pros and cons and we discussed things and God won. If I had done what I wanted to do, I'd be in Turkey right now. Where would the HOPE program be? Where would the bus be? Where would be all the different things that I'm serving in and have that opportunity and privilege to do? What would that be like if I got what I wanted? Where would you be? All the unclean things that you said were, I want this. This is right in my eyes. If God just said, here you go, what would life be like? How many of us would be saved? How many of us would be serving God? How many of us would our kids and our grandkids and our families be in church if we got exactly what we were wanting? We can see the end result of those who didn't submit, even to scriptural baptism. We can see that where the end result is when we start going down this road, when we're not prepared, when we're not walking with God, we're not reading His Word, and we start to do things that are unclean and we start justifying it and making it right, we can see the end result. You ever watch a child pick something up and they off the floor and they put it in their mouth and you try to slap it out and you say, that's disgusting, it's unclean, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? Stop it. It's gross, it's dirty. They don't know that. They just see it and they want to put it in their mouth. We look at it as a child and go, what's wrong with you? Every single time that we try to do that with God, God's doing the exact same thing. He's saying, what's wrong with you? Stop it. That's unclean. You need to get rid of it. You need to be doing this. But we don't see it. We're blind. And we're blind because we're not prepared. We're not preparing our heart for what God would have us to do, for service in the church, for service in our home, for service in our community. That lack of preparation makes us blind. The rest of that verse says, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. The word weight in this verse means to test, prove, examine against the standard. The standard is God's word. We're deceived by our eyes. We're deceived by our own heart. It's wicked, evil. But God weighs it as a just standard. And He tests, proves the spirits. The word spirit is a temper, disposition of mind, habitual or temporary, as a man of a generous spirit or of a revengeful spirit, the ornament of meek and quiet spirit. It's just our attitude and our view of things. God weighs the spirits, our attitude, our mind, our temperance, our meekness, our humbleness, our revengefulness, our anger, our bitterness, all those things. He measures them, He weighs them, and tests them against the Word of God. I'm glad that He does that because we don't, because all of our ways are clean. But God is the one that's directing us and in measuring us. And then the Holy Spirit convicts us and encourages us and puts us right back on the path. He says, stop it. What's wrong with you? So these couple of verses that we've been looking at have been statements. The preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. So these are statements. These are things that God is telling us that if we prepare our heart, then the answer of the tongue is going to be from the Lord. He says that all of our ways are clean in our own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. So we're told things. Now we need to, what do we do with it? How do we prepare ourselves? How do we apply what God is telling us in 16, 1 and 2? We find that in verse 3. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit here means to put ourselves into the hands of or power of another. We're turning ourselves over. We're relinquishing control of ourselves. Psalms. Turn over to Psalms. Let me get the address. Psalm 37, verse 5. I'm watching the clock and I'm flying through my notes. Psalm 37 and verse 5. Psalm 37, verse 5, it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." So again, we see that word commit, but he says trust also. So once we turn ourselves over, once we relinquish control of ourselves to God, we're supposed to trust him also. Now, we don't like to give up control. That's a pretty difficult thing to do, to turn ourselves over completely to where God is directing our every move. That's a challenging and difficult thing. But that's what it says. We're supposed to trust him also. And if we were to look back over our life, we could see that God is faithful to us. In our own lives, we can see it in the lives of other people. We can see it in the lives of the men and women in the scriptures. We can see that God is faithful to us. So if we're going to have a response from the Lord, if we're going to have an answer, if our tongue's going to be the answer from the Lord, then we need to turn ourselves over to him. That's the only way we're going to have that response that we want to have and that God wants to have for us. Back in Proverbs chapter 16, he says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord." So we're not just turning ourselves over. That word works there is just simply our efforts and who we are. But it says, unto the Lord. We're turning it over to the Lord and we're trusting him. And then it says, "And thy thoughts shall be established." And thy thoughts shall be established. Established means to set and fix firmly or unalterably, to settle permanently. I wonder so many times in my own life, and I can see it plain as day, that many times that I'll just give God temporary control of my life. And I'll just allow him to take control for a little bit, and then I'll want control back. You ever drive in a car, and you're driving and maybe you need to adjust or take a jacket off or something, and you say, "Hey, grab the wheel for a second," and then we turn control over to somebody else. And then once we're done doing what we're doing, we resume control of the vehicle. I think so many times when it comes to us in our relationship with God, that's exactly what we do. We're in control, but eventually when the road gets maybe a little too rough, maybe we start going down a road we're unfamiliar with, we say, "Okay, God, I want you to take control now." Oh, we're safe, we're past this, so now I'm ready to take back control. So our thoughts are never unalterable, they're not settled permanently. And so our speech, our tongue, varies. It's cyclical. Sometimes we have encouraging and edifying things. Sometimes we have less than profitable things to say. Sometimes we have good responses and godly responses, and other times we're left silent because we don't know how to respond. There's a lot of things in this life that we don't have any clue to respond with. If you were to look at all the trials and all the struggles and everything that someone may go through, what words could we offer as an encouragement? The only words we could have is the words of life from this book. And so we have to have that relinquished control over to God so we're prepared to have that response, because we don't know when tragedy is going to strike. We don't know when we're going to have to encourage one another or able to encourage one another. That's a privilege, not a right. When we have that opportunity, we have to be prepared. And in that preparation, we have to be continually turning ourselves over to God, because it doesn't come naturally to us. It's preparation. How do you start the day? Do we prepare ourselves? When you start that day and you wake up, are we prepared to give ourselves over to the Lord that day? Are we prepared to allow him to guide our tongue? Are we allowing him to guide our actions? He says, "Commit thyself unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." That means they're not going to be my thoughts. I'm not going to have to worry about trying to come up with something to say. I'm going to know what to say, because they're going to be firmly established. They're going to be settled permanently. You know, as I look back at this year, I think about all those opportunities that I missed to thank somebody or to help a brother or sister along, and robbed of so many chances because of the lack of preparation that I've had in my own life. And it gets even better than that. If we were to keep reading, and we get down to verse 7, it says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." That's a blessing. You know, when we're right with God, our enemies are at peace with us. We don't know who our enemies are because they're not going to tell you. Could be coworkers. I pray it's not someone here in the church, but it's possible. Could be people in the community. We have no idea who's opposed against us. We have no idea the forces that may be striving to see us fall down, striving to hinder us. But yet, when we're doing what God wants us to do, even our enemies may be at peace with us. A lot of times our message isn't received very well. Our message in the community are the positions that we take doctrinally, the positions we take ecumenically. We're not the most favored church here in town. But yet if we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, and we're in our ways are pleasing to God, if we're preparing our heart and we're preparing ourselves, then we're not going to be found at fault. Our enemies aren't going to have anything against us because God's going to make them at peace with us. This doesn't happen on accident, and it's to me, there's no question marks or anything. These are definitive statements. Verse 3, it says, commit thy works unto the Lord. He tells us to do this. It's a commandment. So if we were to look at that commandment, how well did we obey it in 2017? How well did we meet that mark all the way up to this year? And what is our plan going to be in the future? Is this something that we're going to do? Or are we going to prepare ourselves to have the answer from the Lord? In any way. And that's going to be a question that we all have to answer individually. Because it's a personal commandment to me. It says, commit thy works. Commit mine. You commit yours. And then, our answer is going to be for the Lord. We'll be at peace. Our enemies will be at peace with us. And we'll be able to accomplish the will of God. We'll be able to accomplish the things that God desires for us. So by way of closing, and we're a little early, that could be a blessing for y'all. The preparations of the heart are in man. And the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Are we prepared? Is the answer of our mouth, is that from the Lord, or is that from ourselves? Is it from our own flesh? Are we committed? Are we committing ourselves unto God? Are we turning ourselves over? Are we relinquishing that control to God to where our thoughts are going to be grounded and firmly settled and permanent in the Lord? And that's a question only you can answer. Let's stand.